It has been called Halifax's only dedicated gay bar. Halifax Pride says the bar was more than just a place to go for drinks. It was also somewhere where people got together to plan protests, to organize fundraisers, and to hold memorials. Jason Spurrell often performed at Men's under the name Rouge Fatale, and he joins me now. Jason, I am so sorry to hear that Men's and Molly's is closing.
It's closed. It's closed. Permanently done.
Yeah.
It's done now. We don't even get to give her the right send off, which is very painful, especially to me. I've been there since day one when it was a different venue, even. It wasn't even in that spot. And I was the original Miss Men's. So it hurts in a whole lot of places. And like you just said, like the gay bar, the queer bar, for a lot of us over decades, was the only place we had to be safe. Like, it was a tried institution for so many in the queer community over from, like, in the 50s, 60s, 70s onward. It was our haven. It was our church. It was our place that we went. Like you said, I've sent off many a good friend in memorials there. I had my wedding reception at one of the gay bars here when it was open. I've seen so many amazing and painful things happen at our own institution, and now we don't have it.
And this place in particular, Men's and Molly's, when they talk about it being Halifax's only dedicated gay bar, what does that mean? I guess, what does that mean literally? And also, what does it mean personally?
It was the only true queer venue. You know, like, I don't even like using the term gay bar on it, just because we have so many different people within our own community. But in all intent and purposes, it was the only quote-unquote gay bar. You know, like, Reflections was no label.
All right.
But it wasn't queer-owned and operated. It wasn't run by gay. It wasn't run by the queer community. It let us in. It gives us safe space. I'll always say that, because I was also a Miss Reflections. But to not be able to know that I can call and say, hey, I have 10 of us coming in at 4:30 to rehearse, or I have 5 of us coming in to discuss what we need to do for next week to get ready for the anniversary, or to get ready for this, or to get ready for Pride. We don't have that anymore. Like, we used to be able to go in there, and David let us in. Like, you were let in for free. Like, the things that he would do for his own community within it. And, like, no matter what, people always have their issues. You know, there's always going to be the person who will listen to this and go, ugh, there she goes again, and roll their eyes. But when it came down to it, it was home. You know, I saw people I wouldn't get to see in the run of a year at Pride on the dance floor. You know, and it's like I said on my Facebook, like, if we only knew it was the last time we were going to dance.
So can we go back, Jason, just over the history, because you did mention there that the location, the current location, or I guess the location that is now closed on Gottingen Street was not the initial location, right? There was, so take us back to the opening and what that place was like, where it was.
The old establishment, it was Men's, and it had Molly's Restaurant underneath, which is why it's called Men's and Molly's. It was a wonderful place. It was same sort of scenario. It was an old house that was renovated into a performance space and a bar. It had 3 floors. It used to be known as well as the Toolbox. And it was the same scenario. It was a great little place for big, burly, bare men and the leather guys. It was that kind of a bar at that time, because we had 4 or 5 different bars, gay bars, going on at that time. So, you know,
when would that have been, Jason, back like around the millennium?
Yeah.
What's that?
You're going to age me. That's not fair.
Okay. Well, from your sources and from the history books you've read, when would that have been?
Reliable sources. I know energy, like there was always the Misty Moon, like from the, in the 70s and 80s, there were their bars, but in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was allowed to legally get into them, it was like early 2000s. There was Club Energy. There was the Toolbox. There was the Vortex. There was reflections. There was evolutions. There was the blue moon. Then there was, and then all that's left standing, though, through it all, was men's. And I'll never forget it. Like the opening of the new place, the new, well, the new, the Men's and Mollys everyone knows now, it was so much bigger and it was so much more over the top. And one of the original owners that was partners with David, Doug Melanson, and we all called him Daddy Doug. He amazing person that we lost within our community. He passed away from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He treated everybody like his kids. We were the children of the night, you know, and he made sure you were safe and he gave us the space and he didn't charge for the stage. You booked it. You brought him in people and he was happy, you know, and that doesn't happen in this city. You know, there's always a down payment there. You always pay for your space. And he never did. He always, and David never did either. It was always for the, when it came to drag and queer performance and burlesque, anybody was allowed to come in and book a night. And, you know, we had dinners there. He would do Christmas dinners at the bar for people that they couldn't go home or didn't have a home to go to. There were, I remember, spaghetti dinners and we did breakfast. He would buy everything for pancake mix, sausages, the whole nine yards, and have pancake fundraisers. And all you had to do was make sure that your people ran it for and cleaned up afterwards. He would supply everything, and the money went to whatever you needed it to go to.
It was a community hall, right? It's like in the truest sense of the term, it was a community hub.
It was home. It was home. There's no other way. It was my second home. If you didn't find me here, you found me there. You know, like I used to go, not as much as in the last few years, just because she's old and bitter. But like I used to be there in my early 20s. I'd get there at 3:30 when the bar opens at 4. And I would go in and I would make signs and I'd blow balloons and I decorate and I get things ready for whatever. He'd call me and go, I need someone. And I'd be like, how many do you need? And he'd have, you know, I'd have an army of 12 drag queens and drag performers and ready to go. Like, it didn't matter. Like, we knew that he helped us, so we helped them. And David did the same. You know, if they needed help, we gave it. Did we fight? Yeah. But it's family.
And how important, Jace, you're from Glace Bay originally, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're away from home, and there are, you know, there's many people in the queer community who, I mean, maybe their family, the family home they grew up in might be right here in city, but in the city, but it never felt like home to them. How important are spaces like Men's and Mollys?
They're unbelievably important because I've met so many people that call me mom, you know, that come into my house because they're hurt. I met them at the bar and they found out that there are other safe spaces within the queer community. Like my door is always open for anybody within the queer community that needs a hand or help. And like most of my drag kids know this. And I met them all there. You know, like you meet these people and they're there for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And it's like, you know, you get your bar stars who come and go, but it's the ones who call you on the Tuesday afternoon going, hey, you said I could talk. Can we talk? And you knew that you made an impression and you brought those people within into the community properly. And I'm really fortunate that I've gotten to do that with this place. And it's really weird to know that it's not going to be able to be home anymore. And Lord knows what it'll end up being. We just don't know. And the unfamiliarity, like just the unknown to a whole lot of us is a very scary thing. Because before you come out, the only thing you know is the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen to you. And now there's a whole new generation of queer kids that just started making their way to the bar. Those kids from university who finally got the chance to be themselves just lost the one space that they probably could have learned who they were.
Now, Jason, I know it was a sacred space for you, for many people, a safe space. Tragically, though, of course, there was the murder in 2012 outside Men's and Molly's of Raymond Tavel.
Yeah.
Did that hurt the club? Or did it, in a sense, bring the people who were going there closer together? Sorry, Jason.
No, okay. Raymond was a very dear friend. And the fact that it happened the way it happened and where it happened hurt so bad. It shattered our community heart. But our community came together within hours and filled that street in front of that bar with his blood still on the ground and came together and sang for him. And we did it in front of the bar, and we did it in front of our heart pull. And we always will.
It is so much more than a bar.
People don't understand it because, unfortunately, and I'm going to say it the way I'm going to say it, but there's so many quote-unquote straight bars in the city. We have the highest amount of bars per capita, I do believe it is, like in Nova Scotia, you know, for the amount of people that are here. We all drink a lot. And the problem being is that every straight bar is a safe place for 99% of Nova Scotia. We just happened there. You know, I saw so many charity events. I've seen millions of dollars raised in charity at that bar. I have seen the mix of people that have come through there is insane when you think about who was seen on that dance floor. You know, I saw relationships start and end. I've seen engagements. I got engaged at a gay bar during a drag show. Like, it's so much more than just a bar. And anybody who actually is within the nightclub scene, anybody who understands the bar side of this, when you lose that long reigning of a place within your community, it does hurt, and it's going to hurt no matter what we do. But like I've said it before, and I'll constantly keep saying it, we will adapt. We will adapt. We are children of the night. We will find a new haven, you know? And who knows what amazing queer person could finally look and go, maybe it's time, and open up a new place for us to go, a new haven, a new home. That's all we can do. It's all we can hope for, you know. And I think it will happen, and we will hurt right now, and we're allowed to hurt right now, and we're allowed to grieve, and we're allowed to mourn. But when it comes down to it, we've got to remember the amazing things that happened during that time. We have to look on the positive side. Getting upset over the fact that this closed, you can have that moment, but we also have to look at the fact that, like, 15 years for a bar, it's pretty impressive.
Jason, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jason Spurl is an activist here in Halifax, also incredibly well known as Rouge Fatale.